Well, that's like really echoey or something. Maybe that's better? Yeah. Anyways, so my name's Rich Guzman, as I've been introduced by Bob. I've been here before, maybe once or twice to speak. Obviously, I probably did a little bit better than I expected, so Scott invited me back, all right? So thank you for having me back. So it's kind of exciting to continue to share the Word of God with you guys, and just to bring something that the Lord's put on my heart, something that I've been dealing with, have gone through years or whatnot, and maybe share a little bit of my knowledge of what I've learned. But before we start, how about if we just start with prayer, and then we'll dig in, and then hopefully I'll get you guys out of here by one, okay? So, Father, I thank you, Lord Jesus, for today. I thank you for the sun, and thank you for the stars. Thank you for the nature around us. And most of all, I thank you for the people that love you, Lord God, and not just this church and this community and this world and this country, that we're able to come before you to praise you because you are a King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I ask, Lord God, that as this word that you've put on my heart this morning, may it resonate with the people here today, Lord Father. I pray that all of us will have ears to hear, Lord Jesus, and be able to meditate upon the word that you've given us, and that it would be able to not just listen and hear it, but carry it out. How can we apply it in certain areas of our lives that we may be struggling with relationships or whatnot? So, Father, I pray that you just give me the words to speak. Anything that's not of you, may you strike it out, and that I could just be listening to you as I share. So thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Well, as you see, we're going to be talking about restoring broken relationships, right? But before we start that, how about if you guys take, like, you know, 30 seconds or whatever and think about a relationship that you value the most, that's important to you, a relationship where you feel close and it just brings you love and joy, okay? So 30 seconds, go ahead, start now. Okay, I see mine's there working. Good, shouldn't be that hard. Okay, all right, so that was a quick 30 seconds. So as I answer that question, one of the things that I obviously go towards is my wife, Kristen. So she's actually sitting in the back. It's my wife and kids. I would do anything for my wife and kids. And how many of you guys know that? Some of you guys that are married, if you're not married yet, eventually you will be like that. Maybe as somebody in your family, mom, dad, brother, sister, or whatnot. But once you get married, there's that special bond, right, of the person that you're with, that you're loving. And you do anything in the world to help them out. And likewise, well, actually, speaking of which, so this last week we went out hiking for the last 5 days to celebrate our anniversary. Yeah, 23 years, pretty cool. It's not official anniversary. Anytime we take a trip, we call it an anniversary or whatever. At least I do, because anyways, it's to renew our love, right, our connection. And we got to see nature, and we had to go check out waterfalls down in Roseburg. And in 2 days we did, 13 waterfalls, right? So just hiking around, going through these back roads and whatnot, but just enjoying each other's company, right? So I imagine that with you guys, any special moment that you might love or something that takes you back to the time of happiness, joy, that's something that really brought life was probably shared with somebody special, wasn't it? It was probably shared with somebody that you valued, somebody that you cared for. You know, so Kristen and I, that's an awesome connection for us. So when we walk, when we talk, you know, I always tell her, I'll be there for you. You know, these five words, I swear to you. When you breathe, I'll be the air for you, right? Okay, so you guys are kind of already figured out that's probably a Bon Jovi joke, right? So I'm not very creative, so I have to steal lines from other creative artists. So who would have thought I'd be quoting Bon Jovi on a Sunday morning, but anyways, go Bon Jovi. All right, so, but that's just how we're created, right? The Lord created us to have relationship. The Lord created us to have that connection with somebody else that would bring more life, that we could share with, that we could love and just endure trials with, right? And it's an awesome thing. And when we're with somebody like that, it's one of those things where you feel safe with them, don't you? You're open. You can say anything. You can act any way you want, as long as it's respectful. You know, you could think about things and share with them, throw it off, and bounce it off of them, because they're going to love you no matter what, right? They're going to love you for who you are. And to quote one of our great poets, right, Dr. Seuss, is they says, actually, there he is. Today you are you. That's truer than true. There is no one alive who is youer than you, right? There's nobody else like you. And to have that person to support you like that is amazing, because they're looking at you not for what you could be or what you were, but of who you are right now, even as you grow in the Lord, is that they're walking there with you. They're seeing how you are. They allow you to be who you are. Right? So I kind of like that quote. It's kind of cool, but and it's words to live by, right? So just be you, be yourself, and great things will happen, I think. So so as we talk about that, there's also the other side, right? By contrast, there could be a lot of hurts from relationships. We could have those relationships where maybe somebody hurt us, or maybe somebody stepped on our toes, or maybe we're having a conflict, or maybe we're just having that struggle, that outside turmoil with each other, right? That causes us to blow up, that causes us to have that, all of us react in different ways, right? So maybe it's anger, maybe it's yelling, or maybe it's cussing, or maybe it's hitting, or maybe it's withdrawing, right? Maybe it's going to go hide when you start having that turmoil. Maybe it's depression, maybe it's anxiety, right? Is whenever we have, whenever we have those times of hurt, those times of struggle in a relationship, it causes to act in a way that is not what God wants. All right, do you guys understand where I'm going here? Is we lash out. We get upset. And this is something that I've been dealing with, right? Because by a show of hands, no, don't show hands. I'm sure I could probably say that each one of us have probably dealt with some kind of broken relationship. Amen? So I'm sure that there was probably a struggle. There's probably something there. Again, it could be with somebody outside of your family, but it's probably a hurt that really kind of cut deep, right? And how do we navigate that? How do we walk through that? And so I just wanted to just share a couple things. Was fortunately for us, you know, we're not alone in that. You know, Jesus had broken relationships in his life. He had relationships where he got rejected. And Jesus understood the pain of rejection by family and friends. In John 11, or 1:11 says, he came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. So here he is, this is in his own town, and even his own brother and sisters, the community around him, they didn't believe that he was the Christ, that he was Jesus, right? So they rejected him for what he was bringing. And Jesus was betrayed by one of his own inner circle. In John 6:71, it says, he spoke to Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, for he, the one of the 12, was going to betray him. This is somebody who did ministry with Jesus. This is somebody who got to see the works of Jesus personally, but yet he turned and betrayed him. Jesus knows about pain. Jesus' disciple that was going to be the rock of the church denies knowing Jesus in Matthew 26, right? Here's Peter again. He walks on water. He talks to Jesus, and he's hearing all these things for 3 years. But yet he turns around and he denies him when Jesus needed him the most, when he needed somebody to lean on, when he needed that person to support him. What does Peter do? See ya, right? And I'm not sure if I would maybe not do that, right? Because it's scary. It's hard. It's something that we feel uncomfortable with, right? So how do we deal with that? How do we walk through these broken relationships? As I was studying, I was praying and whatnot throughout this last few months, it's always came back to this verse right here, which is Matthew 22:37-40. So if you guys want to turn there, I think I have it right there. So it says, love the Lord with Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law of the prophets hang on these two commandments. You know, so is Jesus saying, when we have broken relationships, it all comes down to us, our relationships with God, first of all, right? It's our relationship with God. So it's loving our God with what? With all of our heart, soul, and mind. He's actually quoting Deuteronomy 6, right? After the Ten Commandments, the first five commandments all have to do with God. And then the last five have to do with people, right? So then Jesus says, you know what? I'll make it easy for you guys. Quoting back to the prophets and what his dad told Moses was, you know what? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. How does that look like for you today? Where are you with that relationship with God? And the second one is, love your neighbor as yourself. And I think this is where a lot of the broken relationships happen, is one, is broken with God, and two, is broken within us. You know, that's where I think a lot of that strife comes from, is that our connection vertically is broken. And therefore, when we can't find that comfort, that peace, that joy within us, then it causes us to react, to start lashing out to those around us, because we don't even love ourselves. We may say we do. We may say that people love us. Look how many likes I have on my Facebook, right? Or my Instagram, or look how many tweets I got. No, we're talking about real connection here. We're talking about something that Jesus was wanting through, as he walked through this world, it was all about relationship, one-on-one, looking at somebody in the eye. Amen? So, I'm not saying that I'm an expert to this, okay? So, in broken relationships, I'm not like a guru or anything like that. This is something that I personally have been walking through, my wife, and, you know, with family and friends or whatnot, so these aren't five pillar things that this is what you should do. These are more like, you know what, maybe you should try this. Okay? So I don't want you to think that these things that I'm going to give you are going to fix your relationships or anything like that. These are basically guides, all right? Because I know it's helped me. It's helped me to move forward, but it's a lot of work. So the first one, and how do we fix our relationships or try to restore them, is to talk with God before we talk to the person. Okay? So in James 1, 5, 6 says, if any of you lacks wisdom, right, which when it comes to arguments, the first thing to go out the door is what? Wisdom, right? Because it's like you just start blowing out, right? You should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, right? You have to have faith that once you send out that prayer, once you speak those words, that you're believing in your heart that God's really going to work, right? But it first comes down to seeking that wisdom. How many of you know that that's probably the most important thing you need to do? So in the back of your mind, when you're wanting to yell or whatever, and you feel like, I just need to walk away, that's probably the Holy Spirit telling you to go, hey, you know, why don't you go talk with God, all right? It's probably the Holy Spirit saying, you know what, you need to calm down. When we seek God, he helps us in that time of need. He helps us in a time of frustration, that time of anger, a time of ugh, right? Because he helps us to center ourselves again, not center ourselves because, well, this is what I think, and this is what I think should happen, but it's more, how is our heart centering with God's, right? How am I loving him to reflect how I'm going to love the other person? You guys are following me, right? You know, so wisdom will help us to have a different perspective of what's going on. It'll help us to calm down. It'll help us to get to the point where we could be more open and being ready to talk. So where do we find wisdom? Right? Through the Bible? Through prayer? Right? And God might even use people. What's that? Wise counselors, right? So he might use not just his word and prayer, but those things around us, right? A counselor, maybe, you know, guys, your spouse, right? Well, it's quiet on that one. Good job. I would have laughed, so I would have gotten in trouble. But so good job for not laughing. But maybe it's your spouse. Maybe it's a book. Maybe it's a song. Maybe it's an article. Maybe it's listening to the radio and you hear that one person share something. You're going, oh yeah, that makes sense, right? So God will use everything and anything around us to bring that wisdom to us. But we have to be open. We have to be seeking that. And the only way we could do that is when we stop and we seek God first. Okay, not the other person, because usually things go sideways from there. All right? So it's seeking God first. The second one is humble yourselves and forgive. Right? Humble yourselves and forgive. That's easy, right? In 1 Peter 5, 6, 7 says, humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. This is probably the hardest thing to do, is to humble yourself, isn't it? To humble yourself. In the middle of an argument, of a heated discussion, the last thing you want to do is be humble, right? Because you want to get your word across, because when you're ticked off, you have a lot of wisdom to give that other person, right? Right? You just want to tell him. He's like, no, this is what I think. Yeah, right? And we just go and we go at it. But yet here, the Lord is saying, you know what? You got to humble yourself. And what does that look like? It's being the bigger man and saying, you know what? Okay, I'm sorry. Sorry for what I did. Sorry for what I said. Sorry for how I acted, right? You know, one of the things I always tell my kids when they were growing up, I got two little kids. They're about, actually, this tall. 20, 19, and the other one's 17, so they're not little anymore, but you always look at your kids as being little, right? But I always told them, you know what, there's only one thing that you could control in an argument, and that's yourself. You can't control the other person. You can't control what they're going to say, what they're going to think, or how they should treat you. Is you're the only person that can control yourself, right? And again, humbling is not an easy thing to do. And then ask for forgiveness, and then confess, right? Again, is what did we do? Is manning up, I say how they say in sports, manning up and sharing what you did wrong, how you messed up, and then so that way you can move forward. Because I think a lot of us will hide things. Some of us will put it in the back burner. Some of us will put it, you know, sweep it under the carpet because we don't want to deal with it at that moment because we want to keep the peace. But in reality, it just starts brewing inside of you. It starts just sitting there, kind of like with coffee. You know, the longer it sits, the worse it gets, right? Yeah? The same kind of way when we hold everything in. And when we don't deal with it right there in that moment, any little thing that happens after that is going to be a big issue. So it's humbling yourself. It's asking for forgiveness. All right. Number three. Sympathize with their feelings. This is another easy thing to do when you're in the middle of an argument, right? Sympathize with their feelings. Ephesians 4, 29, 32. So we're reading through a lot of scripture. As you notice, a lot of this is not my wisdom, all right? A lot of this is just scripture. So I'm just sharing that with you so that way you could take whatever you need. And if you don't agree with it, ask God, okay? So sympathy with their feelings. In Ephesians 4, 29, 32 says, don't use foul or abusive language, right? Amen on that one, right? I know that goes for me too. Let everything you say be good and helpful so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them, right? How many of you know that, again, right? It's hard to do in the middle of an argument. Usually when things come out of my mouth, they're not as encouraging. And maybe people shouldn't hear them, right? So I have to keep them to myself, right? Don't do anything to bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit. So I like what Paul does here, because he kind of like throws us in here, like, you know, in between these verses. 30 says, and do not bring the sorrow to God's Holy Spirit by the way you live. Remember, he has identified you as his own, guaranteeing that you will be saved on the day of redemption, right? What does that mean? That means that you have an identity that you're carrying. You have a reflection that you're reflecting, and that's Christ-like, right? So if you're using foul language, you're abusive and all that, is that reflecting God? Probably not. Probably not, right? So Paul here is going, hey, you know what? Jesus died for you, right? God sent down his son to die for you for your sins so you could be saved, so you could have eternal life. But that doesn't let you or allow you to do these things above. Okay? Isn't that awesome? He just kind of like sneaks it in there, right? Something he goes on, 31. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, and harsh words, and slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. So, again, that's what? Humbling ourselves, right? That's bringing ourselves down from this mighty pedestal maybe where we think we are with the other person. And it's lowering ourselves. It's humbling ourselves to make them more than us, right? Instead, be kind to each other, tender-hearted, forgiving one another. See, there it is again. Forgiving one another, just as God, through Christ, has forgiven you. That's a lot, right? So the easy part in an argument is, okay, I can go talk to God. That's probably the easiest thing you'll ever do. Okay, disconnect. I'm out of here. I'm going to go for a quick walk. I'm going to go over here, get an ice cream. I'm going to ponder it over. And then when I'm ready, I'll go back. Unfortunately, many times that person will follow you. They won't let you disconnect, right? And so that's when you have to ask the other person, hey, you know what? Just give me 10 minutes. That's all I'm asking. In those 10 minutes, you're just praying to God, right? But sympathizing. So easy, talking to God. Hard, humbling and forgiving, right? Ugh, that's hard. Even harder is sympathizing because these people hurt you. These people did something to you that made you ticked off. You're not going to want to sympathize, right? I don't want to sympathize with somebody who's trying to hurt me. It's like, no, I don't think so. I'm going to hurt you back. And it's going to be a lot worse, right? But I have to remember, Jesus died for me. I'm reflecting an image of God. I'm supposed to be reflecting that love that he has for us, right? Amen? So one of the things I want to ask you guys is, do you guys know what self-talk is? Right? Self-talk in a psychology world is basically, so I don't screw it up, is self-talk combines your conscious thoughts with your unconscious beliefs and biases. It's an effect, a way for your brain to interpret and process your daily experience, right? I was going to go on, but those are actually my notes. So it's an effective way for your brain to interpret and process your daily experiences in life, right? So your self-talk normally is going to be something, it could be positive or it could be negative. It could be uplifting or it could be something that's going to tear you down, right? And unfortunately, as us as humans, most likely it's going to be what? Negative, right? Man, I'm not good enough. I'm not pretty enough. I'm not in good shape enough. Oh, I can't believe they did that to me. Oh, I know what they're thinking. Oh, I know what I'm going to do about this, right? And your self-talk just takes control. And your self-talk just keeps going and going and to the point where you believe that's the truth. When really it's a lie from the enemy. If we're not careful, if we're listening to the words and we're not careful, we can hear the enemy talking right there. Oh, I know what he's doing. Oh, I know what she's doing. Oh, I know what she's thinking. Oh, I know what they're going to do next, right? And my wife is awesome at this. She always tells me to calm down, right? Because she's so wise. So again, like I said, wisdom comes from wives, right? From your spouses, not just wives, from your spouses, is because they might be in a place where they can see something different. When you're in the middle of a argument or a fight or whatnot, is that you don't have that. You don't have that perspective. It's only after meeting with God that we get that full picture, or he helps us to get that full picture. So let me give you a secret. Self-talk is not good during an argument, okay? It's not good to let it sit around and stew, okay? You need to nip that in the bud, right? So in 2 Corinthians 10:5, it says, we demolish arguments and whatever pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive of every thought to make it obedient to Christ. right? So to demolish arguments is what? To really quiet down that self-talk that's happening inside of us. That struggle, that tension that we have within us, that thing that thinks it knows everything of what we're of the other person or even of ourselves, is saying, no, you need to shut that up right now. Can I say shut up and bud and all that? I'm sure Scott will mind. Okay. But is that we need to take it captive. How do we take it captive? We need to listen to it. What is it? What is being said? Is it something that's going to be encouraging? Is it something that's uplifting? Does it sound like something that is coming from God? Right? You know what some of those phrases are that are not. Right? And we have to test those things. We have to test that self-talk. Is what are we speaking? So taking every thought captive. Number four. This is another one that's hard to do. All these are just hard to do, except for the first one. Attack the problem and not the person. Right? I see a lot of serious faces out there. So, Proverbs, right? Awesome book of wisdom and whatnot and good advice. So I just took out 18 off of chapter 18. It just has a lot of good points. And I just picked out a few of them, right? I didn't pick that out. I was just kind of reading it. And I was like, oh, this sounds good. Oh, this sounds good too. Oh, yeah, this sounds great too. So I'll just shut up and I'll go ahead and start with one and two. It says, unfriendly people care only about themselves. That's when you don't love yourself kind of thing. You start taking out on everybody else, right? They lash out at common sense. You don't know what you're talking about. Fools have no interest in understanding. They only want to air out their own opinions. Ouch. That one stung. I didn't like God for that one. Okay. So we had a conversation. No, I was joking. But yeah, that one stinks because how many of us do that, right? Fools' words get them into constant quarrels. They are asking for a beating. Right? Because when you're fighting with somebody, you're just like, oh, I just want to just punch you in the face, right? But luckily, you know, we got the Holy Spirit that says, no, you're not going to punch them in the face. That's bad. Okay. Not a good reflection of Christ. All right. 13, spouting off before listening to the facts is both shameful and foolish, right? So we just kind of go out and we start saying our part, and yeah, it's not really facts. Well, that's what I thought because my self-talk told me that you were doing this, and they were going, no, I didn't do that, right? 17, the first to speak in court sounds right, right? It's like, yeah, man, that's really good. Until the cross-examination begins, right? So it's one of those things like, wow, that was really good. Oh, okay, so now we get the big picture. Now we're hearing both sides of the story. Now there's more to be said. So in school, when I'm talking to students, whatever they tell me, I'm going, okay, you know, I'll take that with a grain of salt until I talk to the parents. And then you start getting the fuller story, and you're going, oh, right, okay, so your parents weren't the one that were being mean to you. You just were being a jerk to them. Okay, so then everything comes out, right? Can I say jerk? I shouldn't say that. Sorry, Scott. Okay, because I know he's listening to this. Just joking. 19 is an offended friend is harder to win back than a fortified city. All right? And that's a hard one, too. Once we get into arguments, once we start maybe saying names, once we start turning our backs, once we start giving the cold shoulder, once, however you act is going to put a strain on that relationship, right? And to win somebody back, one of the hardest things to do is to give somebody that trust back, isn't it? Is how do you earn back that trust? How do you earn back that they're not going to talk to you again or bad about you behind your back? How are you going to earn that trust that they're not going to do something that's going to hurt you again? How do you make yourself vulnerable to them again so that way you know that they're not going to hurt you, right? Is by dealing with those things right away. Because the more we let them go in time, the harder it's going to be to tear down those walls. And it's only through seeking God first that he could tear down those fortified cities. When we seek with God and gain his wisdom, and then we and then we humble ourselves and ask for forgiveness, well, those fortified city or fortified walls will actually come down. We're breaking those down. And what are we doing? We're leveling that to start a new foundation, one on equal footing. One where the other person could see when they have their walls down, they could go, okay, you know what, I'll put down my walls because now I'm seeing that you're trying to reflect Christ. I'm seeing that you're trying to understand my perspective. I'm starting to see that you are trying to work in this relationship. So you're genuinely trying to make better of the situation, right? And that's how those fortified walls come down. It's a lot of wisdom right here, huh? Man, God's awesome. I'm glad I didn't have to come up with this. So when I'm fighting those inner voices or whatnot, I need to always remember this verse from James. 1920? No, it's actually James 2, 1920. It says, "You should all be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry." Right? Again, hardest thing to do, right? Man, it's like, why? Why do I struggle with this? So you must all be quick to listen. I need to just shut my mouth, okay? I have a friend, his name is Gene at work, and anytime that he senses I'm going to say something that's not very nice, he'll go, it's like, okay, thanks, Gene. Okay. Yeah, because I do that a lot for some reason. But anyways, but quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry, right? Yeah, this is like, am I still like there? Because this thing's like moving around a lot for some reason now. But is that we need to hear the story. We need to hear what's going on. We need to get that, where's that other person coming from? And that comes to the whole point three of sympathizing is, you need to hear both sides. It's not just about you. It's about what do they have to say? How did we hurt them that caused them to react that way, right? And then slow to speak. Well, we already talked about that. And just shut your mouth, right? And slow to get angry. Because anger does not help the situation, all right? So we've kind of been through that already, and I'm not going to harp on it anymore. But it's just be careful with that. And that's something that we all need to do. We all need to just slow down, take a deep breath, and allow the other person to talk. Because, again, we always think we have the right answers, don't we? We want to share what we know because that's going to help you when that's not really the case. And then the last one is probably another hard one, which I already said that, you know. So make a commitment to the other person, right? And Hebrews 10:24-25 says, "Let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works," right? Okay, so this is post, right, after the fight, after you aired out your dirty laundry, after, you know, you guys got everything cleaned up, right, is how do we move forward? How do we start working on that relationship? How do we start working on that trust? How do we start working on that vulnerability, right, of how can I be vulnerable with you again? It's not going to be overnight, right, but it's something that you have to work towards. "And let us not neglect our meeting together as people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near." Right? How many of you guys know when Jesus is going to come back? Okay, good. because you shouldn't, right? Because Jesus said that nobody knows the time or the place where God's going to come and take us back, right? Beam us up, Scotty, or Jesus, God. Well, whichever one's going to beam us up. Anyways, that's totally squirrel. Okay. Anyways, so nobody knows that, right? So what the author is saying is we need to fix that right now, because let's not go up with some kind of heavy heart on us, but let's fix those relationships that we do have. Let's encourage one another. Let's meet with one another. Let's break bread together, and let's work on this relationship now. Okay? Again, hardest thing to do. All right? Because now it's both you guys working together of going, how are we going to work this out? right? So how do we do this? Just, you know, some things we're just kind of thinking about is time, right? Time heals. Sometimes you just have to, especially trust is a huge thing to, I mean, really, how do you mend that? How do you mend trust? It's not like, here, go take a glass of milk and call me in the morning. You know, you don't do that. It takes time. It takes time. It could take weeks, depends on what happened. It could take months. It could take even years, right? It takes years to build trust, but it only takes one event to break it all down, right? Work together in restoring the relationship. Communicate, be honest in an effort to rebuild that broken trust. Encourage them in a way in what they do. Show support. You know, what are they doing that you could be a part of their lives a little bit? When an opportunity presents itself, share your wisdom. You know, maybe they're going through something. Maybe they're going through some trouble or some other relationship things or at work or at school, whatever. Is how can you share that wisdom? Work through the conflict. If it happens again, you start over again. Don't carry it over. Have fun together. Seek opportunities to laugh and smile and build memories. Overcome obstacles. I don't know why I have that in there because it goes with the other ones. Appreciate and respect one another, right? That's another thing. Is once something happens, it's hard to respect and appreciate, right? Something to work on. Takes time. Challenge yourself to take the next step. Sometimes the other person doesn't want to take the next step. They're holding it in. And sometimes we have to be the bigger person to go, okay, you know what, let's work on this. Even though I may not like you much right now, we need to work on this, right? And it helps them to see that you're actually committed to the relationship. Experience victory together. Celebrate special moments. Learn from your mistakes and setbacks. You know, laugh about it. It's like, yeah, you remember that one time, you know, I called you this? Yeah, sorry. Isn't that funny how much we've come, you know, how far we've come now? So maybe that's probably not a good example, but it'd be funny though. Show them your commitment to the relationship. What does that look like, right? What does that commitment to that relationship look like? It's accepting who they are, right? It's accepting where they're at and what you guys been through, what you guys fought for. Amen? So, those are my five guidelines. Hopefully they help or a little bit at least. Again, it's not my wisdom. All this is just from Scripture and just kind of going through it myself. But we did open up with Matthew 22:37-40. It says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment, and the second one is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. What an awesome thing to follow, right? And there's a quote that I found said, Jesus, actually, did I have that up there? Yeah. Jesus indicated that our first priority was to have a proper vertical relationship with God and then a proper horizontal relationship with our fellow man. You can't have the first without the second. You know, so as we close, and if you just leave that out there, is I don't know where you are in your relationships. You know, I only know where I'm at with mine, you know, with my family, with my wife, with my kids, with my coworkers, right? But I know that I can't work on those relationships if my heart is not in tune with God's. Okay? So all this said, all this wisdom and guidelines and all that, fantastic. But if number one is not met, and that's seeking God and having that relationship, most likely your other relationships are going to be kind of superficial because you're not going to know how to be intimate with that other person as you are with God, right? So is that first one, that vertical relationship, is where are you with that? Are you struggling with something? Are you struggling? Or maybe you've lived life your whole life with God. And maybe he's kind of, yeah, he's there. Or maybe you screwed up, and a lot of times what we do is we step away from God. We distance ourselves, kind of like Adam. We go hide, right? Because we're embarrassed. Because something's going on. And we don't want to show God what we're really going through. and show them our heart. Or maybe, if you haven't even accepted Jesus into your heart as Lord and Savior, I don't know where you're at. Only you know that. Only you could really say, I've given my heart over to God. Only you could say, you know what, I accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I can't say that. I can't force you to say that. That's the cool thing about God, is that he's given us a free will, right? So, if we could just bow our heads and close our eyes. If that's you tonight or today, if you're somebody who wants to maybe rededicate your life to God because maybe you have fallen off a little bit, can you raise your hand? As everybody has their eyes closed or whatnot. Amen. 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 Praise you, Lord God. And maybe you're somebody who hasn't given their lives over to the Lord. And you want to accept them as your Lord and Savior. Is there anybody here that would want to accept them as your Lord and Savior? Okay. Lord Father, I thank you, Lord Jesus, for those hands that did go up in that rededication. Lord Father, it says that in your word that you neither leave us nor forsake us, that you won't let us fall away into the abyss, but that you would rescue us from where we're at. And Father, we pray right now for these souls that are present here today, Lord Jesus, asking for a renewal, for a revival, for a redeemer, kind of like what Bob was sharing this morning, somebody who came to save us from our own selves. Father, I pray that you test these souls right now. May they feel your Holy Spirit just embracing them, bringing that peace, bringing that comfort. Help them to see that you've always been there and that he's not the one that has backed away. He's not the one that has stepped away. He's not the one that went to go hide, but it's us. We're the ones that have done that. We're the ones that have rejected or denied or pushed away. You've always been there as the Father with open arms. And that's how we want to see you today, Lord Jesus, as a Father with open arms that will bring us and embrace us. So I thank you, Father, for these souls that did raise their hands, Lord God. I praise you for that. And Lord Jesus, I pray for the rest of us, for those relationships that are broken, that we are struggling with. Maybe the relationships that we think, it's no big deal. I don't even like that guy anyway. I don't even talk to her, or I don't even work with her, or you know what? It's just so broken. It doesn't even worth wasting my energy. Father, what are the relationships in our lives that we need to help fix, that we need to mend, that we need to restore? What are those relationships that you are calling us today to say, you know what? You need to go talk to this person. And I ask that each one of us, if we have one, that you give that name today, that you allow that name to pop up for us to work at this next week, to talk, to listen to their side, to ask for forgiveness, to humble ourselves, that we could sympathize with what they're going through and maybe how we hurt them. Maybe it was started by us. And how can we start restoring that connection? How can we make that commitment to that relationship? So, Father, I thank you, Lord Jesus, for this day. I thank you for allowing me to speak, allowing me to share this word. I thank you for allowing me just to be open to your word and to use my own life to share with others. And each one of us in here could do the same thing. Is how do we learn? We go through struggles, we go through hurts to learn and to gain wisdom so we could pass on to somebody else. So I ask, Father, that wisdom that's in this room, may it be shared with those in this community, may it be shared with those at work, may it be shared with those at school, wherever life happens, that they'd be able to share that wisdom of how they work through things. So, Lord, we praise you. We give you all honor and glory. May you watch over us, protect our thoughts, our families, our marriages, our kiddos. And as we walk out these doors, I pray against the enemy to try to steal this away. I pray in shutting down that self-talk, saying, you know what, that wasn't for me. That was for you. that we could just shut down that self-talk, that take away those arrows from the enemy, and that we could just shoot him and send him back to, you know, and that we could live a fruitful life, that we could live a life that's pleasing to you and reflecting of you. So I thank you and I praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, once again, thank you for allowing me to come over and share the word. I pray that it's something that was able to speak to your hearts. And again, that was just from my own heart. And thank you. And you guys have a great weekend. Got you out at 11:35, or actually 11:33. So you're welcome. All right.